Okay, welcome back again. Marty Ozinga here today. We are going right through. We are trying to make sure that you understand, Marty's experience as an entrepreneur, and you know, he's giving us a ton of insight into what has made him a very, very successful businessman, but more importantly, a true servant of Jesus Christ in the process. So we're going to dive right into Unit 7 questions. So, you know, obviously all of us that are in business, we have to formulate some type of business plan so that we can have some kind of metric guideline to say, hey, this is how we're going to operate, this is what we're about, this is who we are, this is what we plan for the future. Can you discuss a little bit on how you formulate your business plan or how your business plans evolved since you took over operations?
Good. Yeah, I stepped into an already existing business, and I immediately saw opportunities for growth. Our industry was sort of at a crossroads in terms of generational. It had gotten started about 30 years prior to me stepping into the picture, not just our business, but our industry. So there was a lot of people in companies like ours that were retiring, that didn't have family members that were interested in following in their footsteps, or they wanted to retire and needed the financial resources that the sale of their company would provide. So growth was something that was very interesting to me. So I started adding people resources to our own efforts, anticipating the fact that we would have growth opportunities through acquisitions as well as reinvestment of the profits that we were making. We rarely would take any financial resources out of the business after we paid our taxes and made our charitable contributions. We put all the rest of the money back into reinvestment toward expanding and growing our business. And it was little by little every year, no big change from 1 year to the next, but over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, looking back, it's like, wow, we've doubled our size or tripled our size. And it's because we very consistently had a policy of reinvesting, creating more jobs, expanding our leadership team, and evaluating the performance, not only based on financial results, but based on quality of life, opportunities for employment, and the working conditions that we were providing for our coworkers.
So it sounds like that you feel like investing into your people is a big contribution to maybe the success of your business. Can you speak on that a little bit, on how you pour back in?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I say it over and over again when I get a chance to talk to all of our employees. We have really nice equipment, and we've got great real estate locations and resources, but that's not why we're successful. The secret to our success is our people.
Sure.
And that really is in any business. Doesn't matter what line of work you're in. A growing business needs to continually add high-quality people who are not only technically qualified, but are motivated for the right reasons, and motivated for compatible reasons with the whole concept, as we have, to honor and glorify God and serve others. And our growth couldn't possibly happen without our people, and our good profitable growth wouldn't possibly happen without the good quality people that are part of our team now.
So the retention of your employees, I'm sure your retention rate is probably pretty high.
Our retention rate is super high. Almost no one ever quits.
That's awesome.
In fact, they bring their sons, their daughters, their grandchildren. We have third and fourth generation employees whose father and grandfather work for our company. So it's truly a family business in that sense.
That's fantastic. And I think the old saying is, attitude reflects leadership.
Yeah, and I think people appreciate the idea that we honestly, with integrity, seek to serve each other, to care about each other, to encourage each other, and to help each other become successful individually as well as collectively. There's an honest effort to do that. People feel that, experience that, and that reinforces their commitment to each other and to the future of our company.
Yeah, that's why the people are so important, you know, treating them with the love and respect and the generosity that Christ did for us unconditionally and sacrificially. I feel like that if we show our employees that type of loyalty and commitment to them, that they will go well above and beyond.
They will, yeah.
And, you know, I think that encouraging them and, you know, teaching them the culture, I think, like we spoke about before, that spirit becomes infectious.
Well, absolutely. I mean, to the point where we have a lot of employees that, you know, voluntarily, without being prompted, will say, this is my company.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, well, your name's not Ozinga. Mm-hmm. That family owns this company. No, but I feel like I'm part of the family and that this place belongs to me as much as it does to them. And we have a lot of people that say that kind of stuff.
You got to love that kind of family environment, that perspective where people feel like it's a genuine family and that it's a tight-knit community. You know, I worked in the corporate world for a long time, and, you know, you sometimes in the corporate world you can feel a little alienated. And because it's such a rat race inside, you know, your little cubicle.
Yeah. Well, it's true. And the larger you get, the more employees you have, the more you have to work at that atmosphere. It just doesn't happen all by itself. I mean, we have more than 2,000 employees, and of course, I did all the hiring. I used to know every single person by name. I knew their wives and kids. I don't know hardly anybody, it seems like, anymore. Now, my kids do the hiring.
Sure.
But we spend a lot more time and effort communicating with our employees, telling our story, giving them an opportunity to give us feedback. It's an effort that is well worth making and integral to this whole idea of maintaining this loyalty and family atmosphere.
Yeah, so critical, so critical. It makes you feel like that you're a part of something. You know, I get up excited probably to go to work every day. I know that I'm appreciated because Marty shows me that, you know, I'm cared for here. And I think that's the spirit that God would command us to have with our employees.
Yep, I believe so, yeah.
So how do you actually measure your business success outside of profits? I know profits, a lot of us will look externally and say, okay, this is our profit margin. We're super successful because we're hitting 60% profit or something, you know, like that, right? But you know, in God's kingdom, the material wealth and all of that is obsolete, doesn't really matter. So outside of the profits, the profit aspect, how would you measure your business success?
Yeah, there's something that's got to be said that and made clear. Profits are very important.
Okay.
And the more profits you have, the better.
Sure.
And the reason for that is the reverse. Obviously, if you don't make profit, you're basically on your way out of business.
That's true.
If you don't make profit, you have no money to grow the business. If you don't make profit, you're limited in terms of opportunities that you can take advantage of when they arise. Yes. So profit's a very important component of being in business.
Sure.
Not break even, make money, and then reinvest it.
Mm-hmm.
But to measure success goes far beyond profit. To me, anyway, the truly successful company is not only one that's profitable, but one that provides good jobs, that provides an atmosphere of a healthy, happy, supportive workplace, a workplace that encourages people to do their best, to excel, a workplace that is caring and interested about each other, and that is a collegial and supportive place where people can truly feel like we're working together, not in a bunch of individuals working for themselves. That's a successful company, in my opinion.
Going back to the teamwork aspect, integrating the team, again, making them feel like they are part of something greater than themselves, and then looking into the greater good for the entire organization.
Yep.
So you are a super passionate guy. You are a remarkable visionary. And so one thing that intrigues me about other entrepreneurs is I like to find out about, you know, what drove them or what was their passion behind or their inspiration behind a business venture in particular, something that you did that you took from the heart and said, I want to do this.
Well, I was fortunate to have an entrepreneurial father who was very accomplished. He was a fighter pilot in World War II, and he was an extremely good businessman. He was also very active in church and school and community organizations, and very well-liked. I got the impression watching my father that he felt that he could do almost anything he set his mind to. He understood how to get things done, not only for himself, but with the help of other people. So that combined with a sense that I'm a child of God. God knows me. God lives inside of me. God wants to bless me. I grew up feeling like I can do whatever I want. I'm extremely blessed, and I've got the Lord on my side. That combined with examples of growing up and so forth, and some life's experiences where I got over my fear of taking some risk in small business enterprise, and got a taste of some positive benefits and some success associated with it. It became kind of a, almost like a sense of calling in my life to pursue opportunities that I saw cross my path, not just be ambivalent or lazy, and most of it from a selfless point of view. It wasn't, what do I get out of it? Will this make me happy? Those kinds of issues. But can I do this? Is this something that will yield some good results and additional opportunities and the inclination to pursue those kinds of things? So it's hard to explain it simply. It's just I feel like God created me for a purpose and a place and time, and I'm here to express those opportunities and pursue what God puts in front of me.
I truly believe that Marty is a servant leader with his heart. He comes in, I think, and probably has the ability to transform mindsets in a hurry with his positive mindset and the truth that he's rooted in through God and Jesus and his relationship and walk with them. I think that you are probably a really good model for your workplace.
Well, what most people would agree with, that succeeding at efforts and attempts and accomplishing things is a whole lot more fun than failing.
I think we would agree, okay? Yeah.
So if you say to people, look, what do you think? Let's go do this, let's go do that, and let's do it successfully. And not be fearful or worried that, what if we fail? But anticipate, like I had said in other conversations, that God's on our side. He's going to show up. He's going to give us the wisdom, the knowledge, the skills, and the energy to be successful at this, to succeed, and to accomplish what we set out to do. That happens, and you realize, this is really fun. Let's do this again.
That's right.
Okay? So instead of being defeated, you're energized.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like, what can we do now? Let's do something else and see what happens. And so life is way more fun that way.
Absolutely.
Seeing the possibilities and the potential as opposed to dwelling on what might happen if it doesn't work.
There is nothing more exciting and powerful than seeing God really move in your mm-hmm. business or in your life. And you know that the only way that something could happen was by the grace of God, or
yep.
that's God's will, or God's providence. He made this happen, and all He wants is your glory back in return.
That's
He'll
right.
give you whatever it is that needs to be done, and the most sometimes unique way to make you know, hey, that was really for me.
Yep.
And I love when God does that.
Yep. Very exciting.
Yep. Well, we'll conclude this unit series here. Marty, again, you've been a fantastic guest. I enjoy speaking with Marty a lot. He definitely is full of insight, as you can see. So stay tuned. We've got a few left. Thank you.